Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What's going on, guys? This is the Slice of Anime Life podcast, coming back with our fourth episode. We're excited to get into it today. We got a lot for you. We're going to talk a little bit more about the One Piece live action. I believe we're going to talk through episodes 3 and 4, so we're excited to do that, especially with Dallas, again, our first-time watcher. And then we're going to kind of talk through some main characters, do a little tier list of good main characters, okay main characters, and maybe poor main characters, some of which we think would need to be revamped if the shows were to be brought back. So without further ado, if I've missed anything, let me know. I know we're a little late this week on when we are putting out this episode, but we're still excited for those who are watching. And I'll let Dallas take it away with what he thinks about his newest episodes of the One Piece live action.
Hey guys, yeah, so we just want to first say, obviously we're trying each week to kind of put a video, or I guess you could say a podcast, audio out most Thursday nights or Friday mornings. This week we just had, with me and my brother living in different places, it's kind of hard to kind of come together and do this every week. So we're going to try to do the best we can. We're going to do, obviously, our episode today, and then we will get around to doing our episode on Thursday this week, too. So we'll have two episodes coming out this week. We're going on a trip together, so me and my brother will be together in person. It'll be a little bit easier to record, so therefore we'll have two episodes this week. Like Andrew said, a few things we're going to do today include a little bit of a tier list. I'm going to talk right now about what I thought about One Piece live action. I only watched, technically, in the past week, maybe a little bit, a week and a little bit longer, because we waited to do this video or this episode for a couple days. So I watched the third and fourth episode, and I'm going to tonight or tomorrow watch the fourth and the fifth episode, so we can get back and watch that. And we'll talk more about that at the end today too. I'm still in the process of wanting to watch K-pop Demon Hunters. Obviously there's a lot of hype around that movie going on right now. I really do want to watch it. I love music. Me and my brother both were in choir growing up, even in college. So just music in general, even if it is K-pop, is something that I'm very much interested in, and the songs are pretty fire. So further ado, we'll start talking about what I've been watching in One Piece live action. The third and the fourth episode, if you do not know, it kind of goes hand in hand with the anime. It talks about Syrup Village arc, talks about the Black Cat Pirates being kind of undercover at Usopp's family friend's home growing up, friend that has basically been poisoned by
Kaya, right?
Kaya, yes. She has been poisoned specifically by the Black Cat Pirates captain. I'm not going to go super in depth about what the show is, but essentially there are just a few things me and my brother will kind of talk about. I really, really did enjoy these episodes a lot. I think Andrew was right on track with kind of each episode gets better and better. I really like the fact, I don't know, there are a few things specifically, like Usopp's character, I like his character a lot. I like the actor. He's a good actor. I think he'll play a really good Usopp. I think there are some aspects of him that is not my favorite. Like, I think of the four characters so far, the actors playing Luffy, Nami, Zoro, and Usopp. Obviously, I haven't gotten to Sanji, haven't gotten to a few other characters yet. Obviously, some are not even out yet. They're coming maybe in the second season. I would say for me, it would have to go Luffy, Inaki's character, or actor, he's my favorite. Then it would probably be Nami as an actor. Okay, Nami, I said in a couple episodes ago, is probably my least favorite Straw Hat, but in the sense of the One Piece live action, I really liked Nami's character and the actor who plays her. Then I would probably say it's very close between Zoro and Usopp. I know that a lot of people really like the Zoro actor. I think that he is very good. There's just a few things that, from my perspective, the voice kind of throws me off a little bit. It's perfectly fine. I think I'm just so used to the One Piece dub for the anime that I'm used to like a lower pitched voice. And, you know, he does a really good job. The action scenes are really good. I'm sure I'm going to really kind of lean into him and like him a lot more over the next few episodes. Usopp, maybe not as much of a scaredy cat as he is in the anime from my perspective. He probably will be as we move on, specifically in the next few episodes. But I feel like, obviously, in the anime, it's a little bit, he kind of shows his true colors more often of being this kind of fake adventurer. Okay, obviously.
What I will say, Dallas.
Yeah, go for
it. What I will say is that I think all the initial four actors are great. McKenyu is actually the actor who does Zoro. And I think the reason why a lot of people like him is he portrays certain parts of Zoro very well. He looks the part.
Yeah.
Of course, he is an action star. He's known for being in other Korean shows, as well as he also has been in Rurouni Kenshin live action, where he also did some sword play. So, I mean, he's used to that. He very much embodies what Zoro should be.
Sure.
I think if there was one thing I would say he's lacking on, and I think towards the end of the season he progresses on, is he's really dry and that he doesn't really change much. And I know that's kind of how Zoro is. Zoro at first is really dry. He's very one-toned. He doesn't
he's two-dimensional.
Too emotional. But I think McKenyu does a really good job. The one thing I do love about Usopp's voice or actor right now, and again, I don't remember his name, but I think he looks the part.
Yeah,
he's a great actor. I think that he provides something for Usopp that Usopp doesn't have in the anime. And that's maybe a little bit more confidence, a little bit more swagger, if that's like a word to use.
Yep.
I mean, he makes Usopp look better. I think a lot of people, when you watch the anime, they may look at Usopp and maybe want to start leaning towards stopping the anime because they maybe think Usopp's overly annoying or just the arc itself is kind of not as good. But I think in the live action, it takes a little bit of a step up. In the anime, I do think Syrup Village is great. I think it's a great arc, but I think a lot of people are thrown off. And I'm sure maybe some One Piece fans are out there listening to this. I'm sure there are some people that watch Syrup Village and either A, think it's the worst arc, or B, just were annoyed by Usopp as a character and maybe still are annoyed by him today. So I think that the live action actor gives Usopp a new light, helps him to maybe be a little bit different and not one dimensional like he maybe is at the beginning in the anime. And so I think all the live action actors do a great job, and I'm excited to see how you feel about the live action Sanji 2 coming up.
Yeah, I'm really kind of excited to see specifically how Sanji is. I saw a little bit of him in some trailers and stuff, but I haven't really gotten too much in depth. We're going to get there soon. Maybe it's the next episode. I'm not 100% sure. Obviously, the last thing I remember from the episode is they're leaving. They have the Going Merry, and then you have Arlong kind of going to confront Buggy, and that's kind of where we kind of end. I believe that's where it ends on episode four. So I probably will watch episode 5, maybe here even soon after we get this podcast episode done. I might start watching it. I'm not sure yet, though.
Real quick, what did you think about the casting choice? And yes, I don't know the names of the characters, but what do you think about the casting choice for the Black Cat Pirates? Do you think they did a good job on the casting? Do you think the characters kind of look like what you thought they would? Do you think it was a good episode overall, at least the Syrup Village episode?
Yeah, I mean, I would say specifically, I think Clahador or Kuro, whatever you want to call him, I think his character obviously was the best looking to me for the live action. I think specifically what was a little bit funny was I think they added like some chin implants to him. I don't know specifically why. I mean, I don't remember his character in the anime having like insanely big chin, but when I was looking at the one live action, unless the actor just has a large plastic looking chin, I was just a little bit surprised that they had to kind of go to the next level and add like prosthetics. I thought his character was really well. I really liked how they portrayed his character moving really quickly, even in the live action. It kind of can be difficult to do those things, and you know, I'm not sure how big the budget is, but Netflix is obviously behind One Piece, so maybe the budget is okay. I thought they did pretty good. The other two characters, not so much. I didn't really like, honestly, I don't remember specifically a lot of what they looked like. I remember looking it up when I was watching the live action because I wanted to kind of see the characters from the anime and kind of put them next to who I'm seeing on the TV in the live action. I think a couple of the actual pirates, his like two kind of companions or whatever you want to say, people that work under him, his crew, those who are working with Kaya and being butlers and stuff, I would say those two specifically were maybe not as, I felt like maybe they weren't as good fits for the roles as obviously Kuro's was. I thought his was really well done. I'm trying to remember specifically what happens with Kuro next, because I know he obviously at the end of the episode, he leaves on a small boat, dinghy, whatever you want to call it. He's kind of floating out. I don't remember if he has treasure with him or what exactly, but the last thing is that Luffy pushes him out that window. I'm not sure if that is exactly what happens in the anime, but that's what happens in the live action, and essentially he then leaves. So whatever happens with him, I can't remember exactly, and maybe that's not something we don't see until the next season. But I thought there's something with him being connected with on a ship near where Mihawk is at or something. I can't remember exactly, but maybe there's some sort of connection where we see him later. I feel like we see him later, don't we, in another episode or something. Maybe we never see him again. That's the last thing we see is him floating away. But I feel like why would they? I feel like he must come up again in some of the earlier part of the anime.
Maybe I don't recall them bringing him back, other than maybe if there was like a filler episode, or maybe there's another episode where they maybe discuss about what could have happened to him. Maybe somehow he's an Impel Down. In all honesty, I don't remember. But
I can't remember if like maybe at the end of the live action too, a Marine ship picks him up, because I can't remember. Obviously, the Marines are after Luffy, which is a difference from the anime. This is something that I remembered. I thought for sure, I'm like, there's no way that Kobe was at Syrup Village. Like, I looked it up on the anime, and I was, like, in my head, I'm like, there's no way he was there. And he wasn't. So something that the anime differs from the live action, the live action just felt, why not put Melpepo and Kobe and the Marines. Helmeppo, Kobe, the Marines, all kind of there. You know, let's have them just be there now. I think they're adding some small things like that, letting Kobe be more involved, I guess, having Garp chase them a little bit sooner and all these different things. I think it does add to the live action, but it kind of takes away from what the anime was, because we don't really see that. Yes, it's possible that Kobe and Helmeppo went to Klahador and Kaya's house and said, hey, we're looking for Luffy, we're told there's pirates here. And ultimately they walk away with Luffy. Luffy then is able to essentially get out of this poisonous state that he's in, and then he's able to go back. It does seem kind of a little bit of a stretch where there, it seems to me that Netflix has just like goad with it and said, you know what, let's just throw Kobe. We've already paid the actors. Let's just have them do a scene that's not in the anime. And part of me doesn't like that. I guess it does add a little bit more background to maybe what Kobe and Garp and these people are doing while that's going up, while they're on Syrup Village Island, or wherever. Not Syrup Village Island, sort of in the Syrup Village arc. I think a lot of times in the anime, you're kind of thinking, well, what are the Marines doing right now? What are these other pirate crews doing? And I think that's maybe one good aspect is like, okay, we can finally now see what was believed the Marines were doing at the same time. I don't know if it was like Oda's original concept to have Kobe and Helmeppo and Garp go right after him right away. But what did you think specifically about that?
Well, what I will say, is that Oda has had his hand in the Netflix show. That doesn't mean that he makes all the decisions. Of course, Netflix has all the money, and their budget is quite large. I don't know if it's in the 500 millions, but I know it's in the 100 millions for sure. It's a very large budget. I don't think it's 100 million for each episode, obviously, but the entirety of the first season was in the 100 millions when it came to budget. So they're using a lot of money. What I will say, too, is they did make those changes. I wasn't necessarily happy with them, but knowing that Oda had his hand in the Netflix show and at least had maybe given them the okay makes me feel a little better about it. I think the Netflix show decided to take some risks, make some changes when it came to Helmeppo, when it came to Kobe, when it came to all these people. And again, I think it provides depth into their characters, which maybe are needed. A lot of people who are watching this show really have never seen One Piece.
Right. Okay?
That's the thing I'm starting to think of, is maybe the Netflix live action is not only for the, of course, One Piece mega fans that love the anime or the manga or whatever, but it's also right. for people who have never seen anime or never seen these shows before. And right. so I'm assuming, I mean, it could be something as simple as they wanted to fill the episode with dialogue or characters. And, of course, like you said, they're already paying Kobe. They're already paying Helmeppo. They're already paying Garp. And they want them to be more part of the story. And, again, it's not my favorite thing, but I do think, you know, it adds something. It adds some comedic relief.
Sure.
It also adds some good chase scenes. And again, I'm not mad at it. I think Kobe and Helmeppo, the first season, they're a big part of it. And so, again, I was not disappointed. I think it's just, as someone who loves the One Piece anime, and yet I don't know every little detail about it,
sure.
I still
Same.
Wish that, you know, if they make a live action, that it's pretty darn close, at least, to what the anime is. And they've done a good job with that so far. Just some tweaks. And I will say, you know, having Kobe and Helmeppo and Garp and everyone in the Marines be more a part of the later episodes is a pretty big plot twist. Like, I know you said it was just little. I mean, it's pretty big. That's changing the story quite...
Yeah.
Quite a lot. And so, again, I could be more upset, but... Again, I think it's been great.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too. Obviously, I love the show so far. I think it does do a big service. I wouldn't say it's a disservice to the show by adding some things here and there. I think it's okay, like adding the scene with the number seven guy in the first episode, adding some Kobe and Helmeppo scenes here and Garp scenes. I think it's okay to do that. I think that they could cross the line here at some point if they keep doing it. You know, if there's more and more scenes that aren't in the anime, then maybe more. I'm sure there are plenty of fans out there right now that maybe weren't as excited about adding those things. I'm sure if you went on Reddit forums about One Piece, I'm sure, especially for the live action, there probably is even a decent amount of hate towards the live action from just regular One Piece fans. It's definitely possible. But I think the overwhelming majority are probably happy that the live action is occurring, and maybe they're most likely okay with adding some scenes here and there that weren't specifically in the anime alone.
So have you seen the Buggy episode yet?
The first one, yeah.
So yes, the first episode. I don't know if, of course, you've seen this or not, but the one thing that the live action does do pretty well is they have a lot of Easter eggs. They put a lot of things in the Netflix live action that you can look back at the anime and you maybe will see a barrel that was from the first episode, or you can see some like Baroque works, or I don't know if you remember in the anime there was a little dog called Choo Choo.
I do.
That was like trying to defend his master's
yeah the white dog
home, the white dog. I believe
I remember seeing him in the live action. Yeah,
I believe in the live action they put him in there. Of course, they don't refer to him at all. He has a huge plot point in the anime that's actually really, really great. It's one of my favorite moments of that short little stint. But they at least show a dog that looks like him. There are other ways in which the Netflix live action has done this, where they maybe pop someone here or pop something there that's from an episode just to, throw in some Easter eggs. That way, maybe the diehard fans feel a little bit better about it, you know?
Right. No, I think that was a really nice touch. I remember seeing the dog and saying, wasn't there I wouldn't say an arc, but at least a few episodes regarding a dog and a fire and all
A
these things.
huge
He was,
moment. A huge moment, because it's like his owner has been gone and he's been guarding his shop for a long time. And Buggy, of course, has been like trashing everything. And like this dog is willing to go to any lengths to protect his owner's store, who we assume has not been around or dead or obviously been dead. So it's definitely a really good storyline that they, of course, left out. Which I think some people maybe were upset about, but again, they had to make some cuts because you can't, with the show that needs to be done in 8 episodes or however many they did, I think it was 8, maybe it was less, I don't know.
Not that I
But
think that part is filler, but I think it's good that they're maybe getting rid of for the people watching live action. Like you said, some people are just watching live action who's never seen One Piece before. Maybe they want to watch One Piece from a different angle. Maybe they don't want to watch 100, 1,000, 20-minute episodes. They would rather watch 8 to maybe 16, 40 to
hour
an
long.
hour minute episodes, where you see real people, and maybe it makes more of a connection to some of these fans who weren't really wanting to watch the full thing. So I get that they're kind of going a little bit quicker, and I actually like that. Show us the main stuff. Obviously, there's filler, like that moment with the dog, obviously is a good moment for the anime, and I wouldn't want them to skip it, but it's okay, I think, to skip some of those small things that aren't as important as some of the other bigger plot points. But to take away the dog scene or some other small scenes and put in Kobe and Helmeppo in a scene that we've never seen before is kind of different. I don't know. I'm sure, like I said, a lot of anime fans or One Piece fans are not 100% sure how they feel about that. But yeah, I'm sure it ruffled some feathers, maybe. But most people, I would say, liked that they added maybe a small snippet of what was going on with them.
Yeah. Well, in all honesty, I'm glad you've been enjoying it. I again, I'm glad you're watching each episode. What has been your favorite episode so far, you think? I know you said it gets better as things go on. Was your favorite episode the most recent
I
episode
think
that
my
you
favorite
saw?
episode was still, I think that it's getting better each time, but I still think my favorite episode is episode 2, I think, when they were escaping the Marine base
Yes.
and essentially they were all fighting together and then Buggy comes into play. I think that specifically was probably my favorite episode with Buggy and with them all kind of at the I just felt like I felt a lot of emotion with that episode. Like I said, there's the moment with little him and Shanks. You see the moment with Buggy, the moment in which he's drowning in that little box that Buggy put him in, and Nami and Zoro, who have really no connection with Luffy, come to his rescue. And it just meant a lot to me to watch that episode. The next two are awesome. Obviously, they're all about Usopp and Kaya and all that. They're really good episodes, but I just felt like episode 2 was my favorite so far. But I really liked episode 3 and 4 too. I think they're really great episodes, and I'm excited to keep watching. Like I said, I probably will watch episode 4 and 5 very, or no, 5 and 6, right? Yeah, very soon. Maybe even today or tomorrow for sure. I'll definitely watch it before we do the podcast on Thursday. But yeah, I'm excited to watch those.
Good. Awesome. Well, I think, are you good with stopping there for the One Piece live
Yeah,
action?
I'm
I
okay
know we've
with
been
that. We'll
talking about
talk.
the live action a lot over the last
Yeah.
couple episodes, which is good. I hope that there are people out there that maybe are also taking a similar journey and maybe watching the live action along with us. I think that if you are not watching the live action and maybe you've never watched One Piece before, it could be a good avenue for you to start watching and to maybe get to know the characters before you take on the anime, since it's such a big task, 1,100 or however many episodes, all the way up until it is now. It might be nice to start out with the live action on Netflix. And so maybe take a listen to our podcast. And if you're interested, definitely go on Netflix and start watching. It's been really, really good. And again, this is the second time I've watched it through, and I love it just as much as I watched it the first time.
Yeah, it's an amazing show.
All right, so now I think that since we're going to do another episode this week, we're going to make the second part of our episode a little bit different. We haven't done this before, but I thought, why not? Let's just see how it goes. We're going to do a little bit of a tier list. Of course, you won't be able to see exactly the tier list that's in front of us. You won't be able to really tell what's going on, but we're just going to discuss whether or not a character is a prime great character, whether or not they're kind of mid or okay, where we don't really know. The main character could have been a lot better, or whether or not they're a very poor character. They need to be rewritten. Maybe there's some things that we don't really like about them. We're going to go through some major shows, such as Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, My Hero Academia, Death Note, whatever you want to do. Even Black Clover. We'll talk about Asta a little bit, too. And we're just going to talk about main characters and who has the best main character energy. And who maybe needs to be rewritten, because there are some that maybe we just didn't really care for, some individual main characters. And I'll leave it open. If you want to put like a character that's not a main character, but a very vocal or major part of a show, then we can talk about it. So first up, I'm going to put out Izuku Midoriya from My Hero Academia. We know that he's a very strong character. He has very good powers. He, of course, now has All Might's powers. But what do we think of him as a main character? Does he have the main character energy?
Oh, this one's tough. One of my favorite animes, probably in my top five, maybe even my top three. I think there are some really good moments with Midoriya. Good qualities. If I were to rank him specifically in how I feel he is as a main character in general, I would say he is a very good main character, but I would probably put him in a middle tier. I wouldn't put him in S tier. I know we're not specifically doing S tier. We're doing okay tier. I wouldn't say he's mid, but I would say he's in that okay mid category. I would not call him mid. I like him as a character. I think his powers are amazing. I love how specifically he is as a friend to all those around him. He's similar vibe to Luffy. You know, Luffy is one of, in my opinion, the best main characters in all of anime. And I don't want to make this podcast all about One Piece, but Luffy is an amazing main character. You know, he just gives main character energy, if you want to call it that. Midoriya is similar in the sense that he cares for his friends, even those who don't like him. He cares so much about Bakugo and others around him and All Might. You know, he cares about All Might, and even in the frail state he is in the anime that is the last couple seasons. You know, he's very much a people person. He loves his friends. He loves his even some of his enemies. He doesn't want to see them die, you know. He's just kind of similar to Luffy in that way. I think he's has his moments in which he can be a little bit too annoying. He has his moments, and I think he's a little too soft. You know, for a long time there, I always thought he was really weak. I would always put him and Asta up against each other. And I think that specifically I felt Midoriya, in a sense, compared to Asta, was a little bit more weak. I think Midoriya was a little bit less confident than Asta. Asta may be a little bit more annoying in a sense. At least that's what my wife says. She always says he's a little bit annoying when it comes to his training and just going over the top, screaming and all this other stuff. But yeah, he specifically, Midoriya, is a little bit less confident. I think in the more recent seasons, he's becoming more and more confident. He's becoming more and more the superhero he's meant to be, to kind of be the person to take over from All Might. You know, in the past, it was just All Might kind of helping him to get there. Now that he's finally there, he's becoming his own superhero. And I think the most recent season, season 6, kind of brought it all together. And I hope season 7 really brings it together. Because I think that could kind of make him a high main character and change him on this list.
I do agree with you. I think he's like a middle tier. I think that Izuku Midoriya could be stronger. He could be more confident. There's a lot of things that could maybe change for him that could maybe boost him up on my list. I would say he's also middle of the road. Joining him, I know you just mentioned Asta. I feel Asta, and you'll probably disagree. I do feel as Asta probably, as compared to, like you said, Luffy, would still be on the middle tier two. Even though Asta, I think, has way better powers and strength than Midoriya,
sure.
I think that he has surpassed so much. I love Asta's story of where he started. It's similar to Midoriya, someone who's powerless, someone who is almost handed a gift.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the same because Asta's was more by, I would say, chance. Whereas Izukiyo, Midoriya, I mean, sorry, I said that wrong. Midoriya, he, you know, it kind of comes to fruition. It happens for him because of how great of a person he is. You know, he is eventually seeked out by All Might. Whereas with Asta, it's almost by chance that the demon chose him, you know. And so I think that both their backstories make them great start out characters. I think Asta has a great transformation for where he started to where he is now. I love his training regimen. He is very strong. He is similar with Midoriya, has a strong connection with the Black Bulls, whereas Midoriya with 1A. And the only thing that makes me want to put Asta in the middle tier too is that he can be kind of annoying. He can be overwhelming. There are parts of his character that make you not want to like him, where he's screaming constantly or keeps getting knocked down and you just feel as though he should lose his confidence. And then he has this weird rivalry with Yuno, which is, of course, needed. But I think there are some moments where he takes things a little too far or he's not as emotional as he should be. Like, there are some moments where he's so emotional and then other moments where he feels emotionless. And I think it's hard,
right,
to put him in that high tier with people like Luffy.
I will say this.
You already put Luffy up there.
I think Luffy for sure is in the high tier. But one thing I will say is this. How much of the anime have you seen? Because you haven't finished Black Clover, have you?
No, I haven't. And I do think that, you know, he has some growing to do. But I just, from what I've seen majority of it. I think I only have like 30 episodes left and to be caught up. I've seen majority of it.
Right.
I don't think within 30 episodes he can still overtake that. Because I'm also taking into consideration how he's been throughout the entire time.
Yeah, I guess what I'll say is,
I feel like Luffy hasn't changed, where I feel as Asta, like, there's a lot of him that has fluctuated. There's a lot of him that I necessarily didn't like. Like, I don't necessarily love Asta's personality as much as I do Luffy's. I'm not just solely putting him on S tier because of Asta's powers. If we were doing that, I think Asta would be on S tier because I like his devil powers. I like his setup.
Yeah. Excuse me. I would say specifically as someone who's watched the anime three, maybe four times through. I think right now I'm watching it my fourth time through. It might be my third time, but I think it's my fourth time. And I'm about two episodes or one episode away from the time skip. So similar to One Piece, there's a six-month time skip where they're out training, essentially, with these people from the Heart Kingdom. And Asta is training specifically as well, getting stronger. When he comes back, there's a little bit of a anime style change. He is more fit. He has more muscles. Not saying that that makes him an S-tier main character. I would probably agree with you. I'll put him on the higher level of the mid-tier. You know, I wouldn't say he's lower than Midoriya. I think that he is a great character. I think that similar to Midoriya, similar to Luffy, he'll do anything for his friends. He can be obviously annoying at times, but honestly, after watching it three, four times, it's not as much as you would normally think. Most of the time he is really annoying is during filler episodes. And not saying you should skip them, because I don't, but I kind of give him the benefit of the doubt in the moments in which are the best of that show, kind of are better than most of the moments from other shows. I love One Piece, and there are some amazing moments from One Piece, but some of the moments from Black Clover are just, they just bring me so much joy to watch, and I would totally rewatch it over and over and over. I get that One Piece is 1,000-something episodes, and right now Black Clover is only about 170, but you just, for me, it doesn't get old to watch him kind of progress from his original no magic self, to then getting his five-leaf clover grimoire, to then getting his new powers from the witch from the Forbidden Realm, and then you have specifically now going into the battles with Magicula and the Clover, or not the Clover, obviously the Spade Kingdom, and then we're going to get into the backstory. I think that it's actually good rivalry between him and Yuno. Once you get kind of towards the end of the anime, where I'm at right now, around 150s, him and Yuno are obviously are very they respect each other a lot, and ultimately they're more friendly rivals than anything. I don't think that it really gets annoying that they're like in a rivalry. I can see maybe some of the moments in which they're fighting Raya or some other people specifically from the third eye, that maybe there's a moment which it's an annoying rivalry, but I think give the rest of the anime a chance, maybe 30 episodes, and then maybe we can come back and talk. It probably, like you said, is not going to change much else, and I'm not saying go home and watch 30 episodes, but yeah, I think he's better than maybe a lot of people give him credit for, but I would say he's definitely on the top of that mid-tier.
Cool. Let's go on to another character, and you don't really know too much about him, but of course you've heard his name before. We're going to talk about Goku.
Yeah.
Okay. I have watched all of the original Dragon Ball. I loved it. I think it's one that you should watch eventually.
Yeah, I plan on
Dragon Ball Z, of course, is a lot larger than that. And then, of course, when you get to Super and all these other movies, Broly, there's a lot to uncover about Goku. So before anyone gives me some crap, again, the only thing I've watched is the original Dragon Ball and a little bit of Dragon Ball Z. I've seen up until you get to the androids. I haven't seen fully farther past that. So for me, I do love Goku. I think similar to Luffy, he has great qualities and that he's funny. He's, again, hilarious. He has great relationships with those around him, Master Roshi, all of the people, all of his close friends. Piccolo, everybody he's very close to eventually. And so I think he's a good person. I think he's a great defender. I think he cares for his family. He cares for his son. And he definitely even cares for people like Vegeta. But with that being said, there are certain things I don't really care too much about him. If you were watching in Japanese, I think his Japanese voice actor can be pretty annoying. Some of the episodes, similar to One Piece, feel very repetitive, and I think Goku, I don't know, he feels like a one-trick pony a lot of the times, always wanting to get stronger, same movesets, same fights. I remember the certain fight with Frieza at the beginning, it felt like a One Piece arc, like it they had been fighting, it felt like, for 20 episodes. And again, that's not on Goku as a character, but I think he could be better. He's not anywhere near low tier. I do love him. I have a large Funko Pop of Goku from the original Dragon Ball series, which I love, my favorite Funko Pop. But I would put him at mid tier solely because I have not seen enough of Goku. I have not seen Super Saiyan. I have not seen these large power-ups that really make Goku who he is.
Right.
And again, I know about them, but I have not seen them. So I have to put him at a lower
right. It's not that you're tier. Saying specifically that I mean I haven't really watched Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball Super or any of that, but specifically I'm not going to argue against someone probably saying he's one of the goats of anime. It's not that he isn't, it's just that from what you've seen specifically, you're going to put him in a specific tier, and I don't
fair. I'll stand by it and say if we're making a tier list about who's most recognizable as in the faces of anime, he's going to be up there even more so than Luffy. Sure. You know, I know Luffy has and One Piece have basically been the highest selling manga. They've been like this highest selling comic book series. They're about to take over Superman, which is crazy. And rightfully so, they should. But I still think that Goku is a bigger face of anime than Luffy is. It's almost like Goku is this grandfather who has grandfathered these new age main characters like Ichigo from Bleach, Naruto from Naruto and Naruto Shippuden, and sure. And Luffy from One Piece, and some others. But I almost think that if you're going to pick a face of anime, it might be Goku just because he's so recognizable with so many fans across the entire world.
Definitely. I would totally agree with you.
You want to pick a main character? I know you haven't seen much, but
yeah, I will. I'll pick. So the next one I'm going to talk about is Aaron. I think Aaron Yeager. Obviously, most of you who are listening probably know Attack on Titan. If you haven't, I would recommend to go watch it. It's a very, very amazing four season. Well, a little bit more than four seasons technically. Anime with a main character named Aaron. Specifically, Aaron, in my opinion, is a top-tier main character until maybe the fourth season. I think he does a really great job specifically kind of bringing this main character energy. Obviously, he gets specifically the Founder's power and all these other abilities. He then, in the fourth season, kind of goes out there, steals powers.
Without spoiling too much, he is a very unique character. Yes. We'll just keep it as that his emotions, the way he is as a character, changes so much. Because, again, there could be some people who haven't seen Attack on Titan, and I hate to spoil so much about how his character changes.
We don't have to spoil anymore.
But I think that I agree with you. I think I truly would put him at a high-rank character, high-rank MC, because I actually like the changes. I think that, you know, towards, again, the last couple seasons, he maybe doesn't give off the same type of energy because he's different. He's changed. And that, again, is all I'm going to leave it to. I don't really want to spoil too much. But I think at the beginning, he has a very similar camaraderie with everybody, with Connie, with Jean, with all the people, with all the Survey Corps. He has a very good bond with them. He's very strong. He's very competitive. He wants to always do the best he can. And again, he starts out with a very sad backstory, losing people that he loves, just like a lot of anime characters do. And he comes out of nowhere and becomes like a poster child for them. And I think that, you know, I would put him at the higher tier because I love the powers that he has. I love his abilities. Again, like you, I think that his character in the first couple seasons screams main character energy, and the show itself is just so unique. I think I put him at S tier, not just because of him, but because of the characters around him and the show that he's in.
Yeah.
I mean, the show is just so unique and so good.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
I mean, I've seen so many, and I probably would still put Attack on Titan in my top 10. Because it's just such a unique show. And I remember the first time watching it through without much spoilers. I mean, I value every single episode.
Couldn't stop watching.
You cannot stop watching Attack on Titan.
Yeah.
And so even when I watched it again, those episodes, they don't feel the same. Because the first watch through is just on another level. Similar to Death Note. I'll talk about Death Note main character here in a minute. But I would put Aaron at high.
I would too.
I fear. Like I said, I'll talk about Death Note a little bit. I'm not going to spoil too much. And again, those in the comments who like Death Note or think that Dallas should watch it, you should comment below because I think he should. I think Death Note is a great starter anime. Not saying you're a beginner when it comes to watching shows, but it's one that you should watch.
Sure.
Main character is Light Yagami. I think that not much needs to be said about him. Other than that, his character energy, he has the main character energy. He definitely has that. Him and L have those dueling main character energies. And again, I think Light is a really well-written character. His story is very strong. That show also is very unique. Whoever came up with it, I don't really remember the mangaka's name. But whoever came up with Death Note as a story should be applauded. And when he dies, they should write on his tombstone that he was a goat. Because it is such a unique story, similar to One Piece and similar to Dragon Ball and all these great shows. It is very unique. Even more so unique, I think, than Dragon Ball. And so I love Death Note. I think Dallas should watch it. And I would put Light at the top of my list, maybe a little under Luffy, but I don't know. I hate to say this. I like Light as a better main character than Luffy, just because I feel like he exuberates. He shows the main character energy more than Luffy. Luffy sometimes, as much as I love him, he can get lost because he has so many people around him who are also amazing, like Zoro and Sanji. Whereas Light, he kind of shines in the show because the only competition he really has of wits is against L. And that's all I'll say. Sure. I'm not going to, without spoiling too much.
Yeah, just a few more. I guess, obviously, you guys know maybe from the first episode that my favorite anime of all time is Yu Hakusho. I would definitely, and this is obviously a little bit biased because it is my favorite anime, but I would definitely put Yusuke up there in an S tier. If you haven't watched the show, I totally recommend watching it. I don't know about the live action because that's up in the air about how good that is specifically, but the anime itself is very, very well written. I think Yusuke is an amazing main character. He's funny. He has really great action scenes. He kind of rallies around the people that rally around him. He helps his friends, even brings people close to him who weren't his friends originally, like Kuwabara. Even Kuwabara cared about him even after what happened to him. I'm not going to spoil anything if you've never seen the show. I'm sure it's been around since the 90s, so I'm assuming most of you who are listening probably have seen the show, maybe have seen it a little bit. From my perspective, he's probably up there with Luffy and Light and these characters specifically just because of the nostalgia from my perspective of being one of my favorite animes, one of the first animes I ever watched, and just ultimately just has really great energy. I really wish that there would have been more to him. Like, I wish that they would have gave him a few more seasons. I wish that the show would still be running. I think the show ended perfectly. I really do. I think the very last episode's amazing. I think the show kind of finished the way it should have, and maybe I'd be thinking differently if they kept the show going. Kind of similar to, we're going to kind of talk about something that's not anime, but animation related, similar to SpongeBob in the way that I loved the OG SpongeBob. Not that some of the new SpongeBob episodes could be good. It just feels that they're stretching and making it more and more into something that it wasn't. And I think that could have happened with Yu Hakusho and could be happening with other animes. I think there's moments in which the anime definitely should stop and moments in which cartoons should stop, and sometimes money grabbing and other things, especially with SpongeBob, is where things kind of went out of line. But I really think Yusuke's up there for sure.
I would agree. I think Yusuke's a great character. I don't really even need to go through all of his powers and abilities. I think he does have that main character energy. And I think that I would be honored to watch the show again and again and again. It's one that you definitely really love, and you like him as a character, and I
plan
too,
on watching it again soon, which would be like my third or fourth time. But I just, like I said, I'm finishing Black Clover, which I think
that's the thing that I like about Yusuke is he has that captain energy where he's the leader. Whereas with Asta, I feel like Asta's still missing that because there are people that are still
They're still like Yami and other people. Yeah, I get all that. These people. That's totally a good idea, good example.
And I think that Yusuke and characters like that, when they have this super unfound confidence, like it's a profound confidence. It's crazy. I'll do one more, and then if you want to finish this off with like one more, or if you just want to end it after mine, that's
fine.
Yeah,
I can kind of finish with a small thing, and then we'll call it after this one. Sounds good.
I'll say another middle tier, maybe a little bit lower tier, and it's not because I hate the character. I actually really love him, and I like the show a lot. It's a little bit different than a lot of the anime we've been talking about, is Haikyuu, specifically Hinata Shoyo, the main character of Haikyuu. I think he's strong. I think it, of course, being a different anime, focuses on volleyball, focuses on sportsmanship, playing with friends, being around people you care about, and winning tournaments as sports anime. It comes across very shonen, and it is shonen because there's a lot of action in it too, even though it's sports. But I would put him at a mid to low tier, and not because he's not great, but because he's outshined a lot. That show is definitely different in that every single character on the team is like a main character. They all have their shining moments. They all are so strong. Kageyama has his moments. Tanaka has his moments. Even people from the other rival teams have their own moments and their standalone episodes. So I feel like Taikyu, as much as I would say Hinata is like the main character, he doesn't really give off the main character energy because everyone is a main character in that show. They all have their moments to shine. And again, I truly want to watch Haikyuu again. I'm glad that I've watched the show. It's not for everybody because it can get very repetitive. A lot of it is just points of volleyball, making sure that you're winning tournaments, making sure that you're winning matches, which for some who like sports, it's great, but for some can be boring. I think that Hinata could maybe be rewritten a little bit with some more confidence at the beginning, and maybe given some more time to actually feel like a main character, because definitely in the later seasons when he fizzles out as being the main character, it's as if there is no main character and that the whole team is the main character. So right. That's why I put him a little bit lower, if we're going solely off that. Sure. Like his personality, and I like his teammates and his teamwork, but yeah, not the main character I'm, I guess, really, really searching for when it comes to those type of shows.
Sure. Okay, I'm going to kind of end on this, and this is just going to be kind of a question to you, kind of goes with the main character thing. Are you specifically excited about the Infinity Castle movie in September, the Demon Slayer movie?
Oh, yeah.
And talk a little bit about what you're excited about that movie. Talk maybe about Tanjiro as a character, specifically main character energy, and then we'll kind of end there and say goodbye to the end of this episode. So
cool. No, I'm glad you did that. I did not expect talking about Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer is a show that I do very much enjoy. Tanjiro has a tragic backstory. I'm not going to get too full with it or too emotional because, of course, it's very sad.
Also, I don't want to get spoiled either because I haven't seen it. And I do intend on watching the show. It's one on my list for sure that I need to watch, but I haven't gotten around to it.
Without spoiling, Demon Slayer might be my favorite animated show. I do think that the animation is just stellar when it comes to certain shows. Like, it's on a different tier. Some of the newer episodes have not been as great, but I think that overall the show is immaculate. I think Tanjiro would be a middle character similar to Izuku. I love his powers. I love his determination. I love his character arc and how he's changed since the first episode. But yeah, I'm excited. I love the show. I remember back in the day when I was first contemplating on making this podcast, myself and a buddy who was my roommate went to Peoria, Illinois, and we watched the Mugen Train movie in Japanese. So the English sub, we watched it and it was great. One of my favorite movies. I think we saw it in IMAX. It was just so great to see. It was one of the best movie theater experiences. And I still remember walking in. We got our tickets and there were some other people waiting in there to watch the Demon Slayer movie. And they're like, "Hey, are you guys here to see Demon Slayer 2? And I'm like, "Yeah, we are." And they're like, "Yeah, it's down this way." We get in there and it's like a really small theater. And I'm like, "I swear we had a bigger one. I swear we were in the IMAX." And they're like, I was like, "Is this the Demon Slayer movie?" And they're like, "Yeah, this one's in dub." And I was like, "Oh, we bought the sub tickets." So we went and then watched it in dub, or we watched it in sub. I'm not crazily against the dub in Demon Slayer. In fact, I'm watching the dub now with my fiance because it's easier to watch. I've seen it in both. But again, I loved the movie. I'm so excited to see it. Coming up and coming out here, Infinity Castle. And hopefully, who knows, maybe you'll be able to watch the show and at least be at a point to where we can.
I think it's coming out in September. So, I mean, I'd have to really kind of watch it soon. I'd have to finish. I could probably finish it in a month, but definitely I could, but we'll just see. Maybe I'll try.
There was There was 2 years ago when we, after we came back from vacation, there was a couple days I had to myself, and I remember I just in almost one day zoomed through the first season of Demon Slayer.
How many seasons?
In fact, I thought the first season of Demon Slayer was one of my favorite shows or favorite seasons I had seen in a long time. So definitely give it a watch, at least the first season.
How many seasons are there?
The newer ones are a little bit shorter. I think there's four now. There's like four separate arcs and then that movie. In fact, most of that movie actually can be watched in episode format.
Gosh,
because they have the episodes put out too. So in all honesty, if you watch the movie, there's a couple episodes in one of the portions of the seasons.
It catches you up a little bit, kind of.
Yeah. So okay. I'm excited. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, cool. All right, well, that will conclude our episode 4. Really glad you guys were able to listen, kind of talk a little bit about One Piece live action, talk about some tier lists of main characters, and kind of end on a movie that we're looking forward to see specifically coming out here soon in September in the United States. So very excited. Thank you guys for watching. It's been a really great experience. Like I said, check out Thursday. We should have another episode coming out. I know we obviously were a little behind on getting this one out, but we'll get another one out Thursday, possibly have someone to interview as well. We will see.
And before you go, make sure you, if you have the chance, leave some comments down below on Spotify, wherever you get this podcast, Pandora, Apple Music. Make sure that you comment, you share some ideas, maybe some new ideas that we could have for the next couple episodes. And again, we really appreciate you watching and listening to this podcast.
Thank you guys. Thanks for listening.
Yep. See you Thursday.